Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
No, I enjoy singing, but you know, I'm not, that's not my favorite thing, but I do like singing. I will always sing, all right? So if you guys like the way I sing, or some people have been tricked into thinking I can sing well, I will always break out in song sometime, even if I'm not in the praise team. Just like we did yesterday, we talked about this song I had heard, an old song that Annis knew it, so she started playing and we started singing. I'll do stuff like that always, but I won't always be in the praise team. Amen? Amen. All right, so I promised 12:30, so let's get to it. So Father, we thank you for the word of God, because it's only through your word that our lives can be changed. Jesus said that your word, in your word, is eternal life. And so, Lord, because of that, I ask that you would speak the life that we need, that brings life in our daily walk, our daily minds, our daily hearts, and daily about us, so that we can be all that you've called us to be. Thank you for this word. We ask that you would speak, Holy Spirit, the what you want me to speak. Use me in the way that you want to use me, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. So last week we left off, we're still on the series, Strongholds That Prevent Growth, Progress, and Maturity. And a stronghold, for those that have not heard the whole message, a stronghold is something, it's a military term that, if you think about it, and for some, there's some of us that have been in the military. And when you're in an active battle, sometimes the enemy takes up residence, in an area. And because of that area and because of the strategic placement of that area, it has to be overcome. Amen? If you remember, if you guys know your history about D-Day, the United States and its allies had to invade the country of France in order to liberate it. And in order to do that, they had to take the stronghold of the beachhead. And many people died as a result of that, but that's what that is a natural picture of a stronghold is. Amen? But a spiritual picture of a stronghold is areas in our lives that have not necessarily been changed by our relationship. For those that have accepted Christ, have not been changed by our spiritual relationship with Jesus. So a stronghold can be your anger, your temper, you name it, a drug habit, drug use. Even after you have become born again, sometimes these things that are from the old life still have a hold on you. Are you following me? And so that is what is referred to as a stronghold. And in order to get those strongholds out, we have to surrender that portion of our lives to the Lord and allow him to invade the enemy's territory and push the enemy out of our lives. That's what it means to get a stronghold away. And so what strongholds are designed to do is to keep you from progressing in the things of God. One stronghold, just a natural stronghold, if you want to put it in these terms, would be if you did not know how to read at all, you could not read the Bible and therefore learn what truth was, right? Well, that's a pretty one easy, well, I say easier, it's easier said than done. It's at least you know that you can learn to read and therefore learn to understand what the scriptures say, but that would be a natural stronghold, something that you could overcome, but you would have to work at it to overcome it, right? You don't just learn to read by just picking up a book and say, oh, yeah, man, now all of it. Now, sometimes God can do that. I've heard stories where a guy who could not read any other book could actually read the Bible, which was a weird thing, but that's how God does things. So that's what I mean by strongholds that prevent growth, progress, and maturity. So last week we talked about prejudice, preferences, partiality, and bias. And we tried to go to one scripture, and thank God for my brother Tamron. He said he put the right one up. I had Leviticus 19:5, and it was actually Leviticus 19:15. So let's go to that passage as we begin, and we want to get to the rest of it today as we can. So let's go to Leviticus 19:15. And for the most part, it's on behind you, but it's always good to follow along if you can. And this is God speaking to the children of Israel as they're coming out of the Egyptian bondage and headed to the promised land. All right? So that's the context. So in verse 15 says, You shall do no injustice in judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. In righteousness you shall judge your neighbor. So notice he says three things. First, he says you should not do any injustice. All right? Injustice means you should not do things that are unfair to other people. Then the second thing he says, and don't show partiality to the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. So he's trying to teach them the poor gets the same standard as the mighty, and the mighty does not get favoritism because they're mighty. And then he goes on to say in the last part of that passage, in righteousness you shall judge your neighbor. Now he's speaking to, obviously, people that are in position to judge conflicts between these groups. Am I right? Amen? But he's also talking to us individually as not showing favoritism for any reason, nor bring injustice or partiality, but we're supposed to bring righteousness. Now, righteousness means to follow the standard or to be right in right standing with God. So he says, in righteousness, you shall judge your neighbor. Amen? So I wanted to finally clarify that. But let's go to where we left off last time. We were talking about how our family members or our family ties and relationships formulate our belief systems. What we believe today is what someone taught us yesterday. Amen? And the other thing that formulates our beliefs are our experiences. Good, bad, or indifferent. Our beliefs are taught, and then our experiences are experienced, and from those things we formulate views, belief systems, and opinions. But that is not what the church is supposed to base its views upon. Amen? For the word says that, and I'm going to just quote a passage that we all know. It's Proverbs 3:5, which says what? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And what's the last part? Now, when it says don't lean on your own understanding, tell me what that means. Your own experiences, let's just put it in the context of what I just talked about. Your own experiences, your own beliefs, your own views, don't trust or lean on those things. But it says in the first part, it said what? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. So that tells us that we have to learn to separate what is our understanding. Amen. And what is God's heart, how we trust within God with all of our heart. And we do that by understanding what the scriptures teach about things. So let's go to a passage that we can look at here. And let's go to, I think last time we went to James. So let's go to Romans chapter 12, verse 9 through 21. And I don't know if we're going to do all that, but we'll use it and go pieces. So Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Yeah, starting at verse 9. And it says here, let love be without hypocrisy. What does that mean? What is hypocrisy? It's what?
Lying ways.
Hypocrisy is lying ways. What else is hypocrisy? Okay. Acting. You're acting like you're one thing, but you're not really that thing. So he says, let love be without hypocrisy. In other words, genuinely love or care about the people that you supposedly love. Don't be a pretender. Amen? Do not pretend. And he says, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preferences to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And let's go to, start at verse 17. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. This is the part I want to read, 18. It says, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. All right, let's read that again. If it is possible, and as much as it depends on you, what does that mean? You give your best regardless of what the response is from other people. And that's a hard lesson to learn, because it's easy to respond when they the way they respond to you. Huh? Isn't it easy? Somebody, I mean, it's a terrible thing if you offered somebody and they slapped something out of your hand. Wouldn't that be terrible? And then what's the first response when that happens? Somebody, I got a dollar, say I have a dollar or a sandwich. Let's have a, say a sandwich. Because most people won't slap a dollar out of your hand. But let's say you have a sandwich and you, hey, you want a sandwich? And they slapped it on your out of your hand and it hit the floor. And it wasn't wrapped. So now you've ruined my sandwich. So what's the first response? Come on, don't act like y'all don't know. You get mad. I said, man, what did you, why you do that, man? And they said, let me pick this up and smash it in your face. You know, that's the response that you try to fight. But you say, but then you catch yourself and you say, well, ruin the sandwich. And you know, if you eat my wife's sandwiches, she makes some of the best sandwiches that I've ever had. And I said, slap my wife's sandwich on the floor. Because she's always making them. But you say, okay, but I'm not going to respond because there's obviously something going on with that person. And see, this is where love comes in. See, initially your response is just to fight fire with fire. But love says, and the Holy Spirit will reveal to you and say, well, you know what? They're going through a hard time right now. So don't respond the way they've just responded to you. And everything within you disagrees with that. Am I right? And it doesn't even have to be a stranger. That could be somebody in your own household. But let's deal with strangers for now. We'll talk about households later. But he says, if it is possible, and as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. So the possibility is out there. But the part about doing whatever, all that is within you, do everything you can do to reconcile. That's why when somebody says, well, you know, I've said I was sorry and I tried to make amends for what I've done. and that person just will not respond to my gestures. Have you ever had that happen? So what do you do at that time? The Bible says there's now it's on them. Now, you don't get a cold, callous attitude. I ain't done all this. You don't get that attitude because now you've gone back on your as much as depends upon you. But as long as you keep the right attitude and you sincerely apologize and you're sincerely sorry, you're sincerely doing all that you can to make reconciliation on this relationship, now it falls on them to respond. Amen? And you can't make people respond the way you want people to respond. Let me say that again because a lot of us don't believe that. You cannot force a response on someone. The only thing you can do is what the scripture says, as much as within you, live at peace with them. But you cannot make them respond likewise. So you have to be, like our sister said, you have to be patient and allow the Holy Spirit to begin to work on them. Because you know what? It's a terrible thing. And all of us, this has happened, right? When we respond in a bad way to somebody that responds in a kind way to us, that makes us feel pretty bad, right? I mean, think about it. If your wife or your husband made a dinner for you and they came first, they didn't acknowledge that you worked so hard on that, and then they say, ugh, this is terrible. What did you do? Oh, it's a good thing the skillet's not still on the table because they might have had a skillet dinner in another way, but that's one of the worst things that you could do after you've given and you've given and you've given and they've not responded the way you thought they should respond. And if they're honest and if they really care for you, they will be convicted in their hearts and come back and say, you know what, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have responded that way, right? That's the way it's supposed to. So that's what doing all you can do gives them the opportunity to do. Now they have to respond and be convicted by their actions, and God is going to change them if they will surrender, but they may not surrender. That's the whole problem with the God. Well, I shouldn't say the problem with the God. That's the problem with people. People don't always respond the way God tells them to respond. Amen? If they did, we would have a world that would deal differently with one another. But here he just says, as much as depends upon you, live at peace with everybody or all people. Amen?
We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon.
So let's go back to the family situations. And remember this one thing, or a couple things. First of all, we cannot expect those who don't know God to live, think, believe, and act like those of us who know God. Amen? You cannot expect a person that does not know Jesus to act like Jesus. That's all that's saying. You cannot expect the unsaved to act like a saved person. And this goes, and so if then you extrapolate that to the world, you cannot expect an unsaved world to implement things that would be consistent with salvation. You cannot expect an unsaved world to follow the teachings of Jesus Christ when they don't agree with the teachings of Jesus Christ. Amen? Come on, talk to me. Are you guys getting this? Do you see this? Because many times we have, and this is the problem when we say stuff like, well, America's a Christian nation. There's no such thing as a Christian nation because nations don't become Christians. The people are Christians. And there was a time when and we talked about this and have talked about this many, many, many times. There was a time in America, even if you didn't believe in Jesus Christ, you had a respect for Jesus Christ. And you would not denigrate, blaspheme, whatever you want to call it, anything related to Christianity in the Bible. You just wouldn't do it. We had prayer in school for over 100 years, and nobody was offended. Didn't bother anybody. But all of a sudden, somebody complained about it. And the court said, well, okay, yeah, you're right. We have to change that. What happened in those 100 years, what happened was we had a populace that no longer embraced the teachings of what the scriptures taught. And so then you had a change, a shift of people fighting against those things. Now, you hear fights all the time. Crosses on buildings, city buildings. They have a problem with that, right? How many have heard those cases? People have city crosses on the city buildings, and they said, well, that's a violation of the separation of church and state. And people have agreed with that. And so therefore, crosses have come down. You've had people say, well, we can't have Christmas trees in public squares, right? Everybody heard that? You're going to hear it again. It's going to come again. Every Christmas it comes. And they want to remove Christmas trees. Not that there is really any religious symbolism of a Christmas tree in Christianity, but we know that Christmas trees are put in Christmas time. And so you have a populace, or at least a segment of the populace, that does not agree with the views of the church. Are you with me here? And so when you have that, this should not surprise you, because unbelievers do not believe like believers. Amen? But this is the sad part. But those of us who know God, in some cases, live, think, believe, and act like those who don't know God. So you have believers who don't act like believers, or don't believe like believers, don't think like believers, and so they embrace things that are contrary to what the scriptures say. And we're dealing with it in the area of prejudice, but you can extrapolate that into every area of life. Now, the scripture talks about, and let's go to 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 21. So 1 John, towards the end of the book, if you're keeping track or if you're just looking up, that's fine too. 4:7-21 says this. It says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Now, let me just qualify and let me explain that. That does not mean that everybody who loves people is from God. That what he's saying is that those of us that are born again and loves one another, that's who he's talking about. He's not talking about people who just love people just for the sake of loving people. That in and of itself does not make you born of God. Is that clear? In order to be born of God, you have to accept Jesus as his son. That's how you're born of God. What's also called being born again, also be called becoming a new creation. All those things are necessary to be born of God. So love by itself does not make you born of God. Everybody say that with me. Love by itself does not make you born of God. You must be born again. And see, this is where we have a problem, because we have people saying that they love one another. They love a man loves man, women love women. And we have a problem with saying, well, if they love each other, why do we have a problem with that? And the idea is because this is not the love that God was talking about. And this is touchy ground because we don't like to make distinctions. But it's required as an adult to make distinctions. Just like I talked about in Proverbs 3:5. What was it? Now I'm drawing a blank. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your understanding. You have to know how to distinguish your understanding so that you don't lean on it. See, distinctions are so important, but it doesn't make us hate anybody. Are you with me here? So in other words, when God says love one another, he's not talking about erotic love. He's talking about brotherly love. Okay, you guys know what erotic love means. That means sexual love. He's not talking about that. We're not to sexually love everybody in the world. That's sick. Okay, let's just be honest. That would be a sickness. But he is telling us to love each other in a brotherly manner. Just like you love your brothers and your sisters, those close to you. Love them like yourself. Amen? But then he goes on to say, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Again, he's talking about those that have already been born again. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us. Who's the us? Who's us? Come on, talk to me. Who's the believers? He's talking to believers. Okay? It's very important you understand these pronouns. I know most of us forgot what that pronoun means, but a pronoun is things like we, you, us, me, them. That's a pronoun. Just your short English lesson for the day. In this, the love of God, let me go back to where I was. God was manifested toward us that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Now, the love of God can come out of us because it's been shed abroad in our hearts. It's been given to us. Without the love of God being given to us, I do not want to love people. I can be nice to people, but I don't want to love too many people. I love those that are close, but I'm not going to love too many people. Annis is giving me the 12:30 warning there. So let's go on, and then we'll close here. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So how you notice how he keeps the parallel going. God loved us, we love people as we accept what he's done for us. And let me jump down here. Love, number 17, love has been perfected among us in this, that we have boldness in the day of judgment because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. And jumping to 20, it says, if someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love also his brother also. And now, and the key is this, you can't love God without doing what God says. The Bible says, Jesus says, if you love me, you'll do what? Speak up, say it loud. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Now, the commandments are not just the Ten Commandments, but the precepts of what God tells us to obey. So if you're going to love God, you cannot disagree with what he says. You don't get to say, well, I don't like that part of the Bible. Well, I don't think that applies to me. Or that's hard, so I don't think I should do that. You're not loving God now. This is like our children. Are you going to obey me or not? Well, Mom, Dad, I'll obey half of what you say, but I'm not going to obey everything you say. Now, if your kid said that to you, what would you do? You would clearly say, no, you didn't get it. Son, daughter, you didn't get it. I said, you do everything I say. But see, that's how we are with the scriptures. We want to cut it up and say, well, I'll obey this part, I won't obey this part. And you can't do that with God. You have to be obedient if you're really going to say you love him. Amen? So we have to be careful that we don't live our life like the unbelievers in that we don't obey the things that God has revealed to us. Because now we have come out of light and we're back in darkness. But as long as we're in the light, we will obey the things that are in the light. Amen? I know it's tough sometimes, but we're not called to be generally accepted by the populace, if I may say it that way, as a believer. Our belief systems don't coincide with the world. So they're not going to be happy when we disagree with them. I mean, isn't that what they killed Jesus for that, didn't they? So don't think, and he says, if they persecuted me, they'll persecute you too. So don't be surprised when they don't believe and listen to all the things that we have to say. But don't change because they don't. Amen? Don't bow down because they don't agree with you. Stand true. And so when we're dealing with these things, and we'll continue talking about it next week, when you're dealing with prejudice, stand for the right thing. You're not supposed to dislike anybody because of their color or race. Amen? Or their nationality or anything. You're not supposed to hate anybody. So stand for the right thing, regardless of how popular that is. All right? All right, let's stand. We're going home. We're a couple minutes late. We almost made it. 12:32. So, and I'm saying all these things just to remind us, to change us, because, yes, a lot of us have had bad experiences with groups of people. Been put down, cheated, deceived, degraded, everything, you name it, it's happened. And our experience tells us we don't trust those people anymore. But that's leaning on your own understanding. Amen? So we have to be careful not to lean on our own understanding. So as I pray to close, I want to pray for us to God to teach us to discern between our understanding and his understanding, our ways and his ways, so that we'll follow his ways and not our own. All right? So, Father, we thank you for this word today. And we pray, Lord God, that you would shine a light on our understanding, how we have made our own belief systems and our own conclusions and our own experiences our direction for our life. And Lord, in many cases, that has been the wrong direction to take. So Lord, I pray that you would teach us how to distinguish between our understanding and your understanding. For you said your ways are not our ways and your thoughts are not our thoughts. But then you also said for us to renew our minds so that we can think like you think. So we have to be told or shown how to distinguish between our ways and your ways. Our thoughts and your thoughts. And so, Lord, I pray that you would do that for all of us standing in this room. We pray that your Holy Spirit would teach us your ways and lead us and guide us from this point on. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this time. And we ask that you would seal your word in our hearts so that we can be doers of it and not just hearers only. Thank you for being with us. Continue to bless us. Watch over us as we go and bring us back safely the next time we gather. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon. And we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.